From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 23rd day of February 2012. Happy 60th birthday to my brother Larry. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, TGM's Matt Bennett will be here to look at the cash grain market with us. We'll hear from Pete Levitt about the agricultural weather forecast. And along the way, Lisa Braltz will take us through her backyard on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished a bit lower for the day in the wheat pit nearby contract, down 2 3/4 at 6:41 3/4 for the March, May at 6:41, down 4 3/4, and July futures for the soft red at 6:55, a nickel lower, the hard red July in Kansas City at 6:95 3/4, down 5.5 cents. March corn futures 6:39 1/2, up a penny and a quarter. The May at 6:42 1/2, up 1 1/4, and July 6:44 3/4, a half cent higher. September corn futures down 5 1/4, $5.89 1/2. December at 5:58 3/4, down 5 3/4 for the new crop harvest month, and March of next year at $5.70, down 4 1/4 for the day. The March soybeans up 4.5 cents, $12.76 3/4. The settlement price, May at 12.83 1/2, 4 3/4 higher. July at 12.91 1/4, up 4 3/4. And August beans up a nickel at $12.85 1/2. November at 12.67 3/4, 3 3/4 higher. March bean meal at 3.32.90, up 1.60. March bean oil 2 cents lower at 54.20 for the afternoon. Live cattle futures, April contracted 129.67 1/2, down $1.47 1/2. June at 127.75, $1.10 lower. March feeders at 157.65, 77.5 cents lower. And the April futures at 160.17 1/2, down 70 cents. April lean hogs $89.60, 72.5 cents lower on the day. The May at 98.77 1/2, down 22.5 cents. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil at $107.96 a barrel, up $1.68. Ethanol at $2.21, 9 cents higher. Natural gas at $2.61 1/2, down 2 8 cents. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.94 3/10, that's 2 1/10 higher. And the gold futures for the day at $1,784.90 an ounce, up $14.90. The dollar at 78.8, down 0.3. The CRB index at 323.39, that's 0.53 higher on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. Yet this afternoon, a 50% chance of showers, mainly after 3 o'clock, mostly cloudy. A high of 50 degrees with an east wind at about 16 miles an hour. That'll gust all the way to 23. And then this evening, rain before midnight, a chance of snow. That's right, snow. Low of 31. North-northwest winds in the area at 9 to 17. They'll gust all the way to 23. The chance of precipitation set at 80% for this evening. New snow accumulation of less than a half an inch possible. Friday, a chance of rain. A few snow showers. Cloudy, a high of 39 degrees. It'll be breezy with a west-northwest wind at 16 to 20, gusting to 26. Chance of precipitation tomorrow, 30%. Friday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 24, with a west to northwest wind at 13 to 16. And Saturday, sunny skies, a high of 38 degrees, a west to northwest wind at 6 to 13 miles an hour. Saturday night, clear and 26. Sunday, sunny and breezy, a high of 49 degrees. Sunday night, partly cloudy, a low of 36. On Monday, mostly sunny skies, a high 44 degrees. Monday night, partly cloudy and 26. Tuesday, a chance of rain, partly sunny then, with a high of 40 degrees. Tuesday night, a chance of rain and then maybe some snow. Mostly cloudy Tuesday evening of next week, a low of 32 degrees. And Wednesday, a chance of rain, partly sunny, and a high near 42. More on the weather closer to the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This is the Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. On the phone line with us today, Dan Zwicker at ADM Green Group in Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan. How are you today?
Doing fine, Todd.
Well, you're traveling. You're not in Decatur. You're way out west. Where at this point?
I am in the Oklahoma Panhandle right now.
And you have been on the traveling circuit, I think, maybe last week. We didn't talk to you, but you were in Louisville, I think, at the big trade show there. Is that right?
Yeah. I've done an awful lot of farmer meetings this year, probably more than normal because of our acquisition of the Wisconsin Elevator Group last summer, and I'm doing the Western tour. We have an awful lot of elevators out west here in Kansas and Oklahoma because of the farmland industries. When they went bankrupt years ago, we took over their elevators. So we have a big operation here in the hard red winter wheat area. But right here in this Oklahoma Panhandle area where I'm at today, is actually corn country. I just got done talking to corn farmers. So even though you would think this would maybe be wheat out here, this is a big corn country out here in the Panhandle.
Now in the Panhandle, did you get all the way down into parts of Texas too, and to some of the corn growing regions where they're irrigated? No,
I'm still roughly 25 miles from the Texas border, but I'm right in that narrow, about in the center of the Oklahoma Panhandle.
So are they irrigated there or dry land?
They do some irrigation to the north of us, and then there's dry land. But there's a lot of pivots out here. One thing I did learn coming out west here is you don't talk in acres, you talk in circles or half circles. because everything's irrigated, so you talk about how many circles you farm rather than acres. So it is a little different culture.
How many acres in a circle did you ask? Do you know? I'm assuming a circle's a mile square,
some
right?
Some of them are real big, but most of them is a quarter section or 160 acres, and then probably they got 130 of that is irrigated, and then the rest of it then is going to be what they call dry land corn because that's on the corners.
And did they tell you what kind of yields and averages and APHs they have?
They get good yields. Because they mix the fertilizer in there. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They didn't tell me specifically, but they're fairly aggressive on the yields because of the irrigation. Irrigation takes land a long ways, but you still got to have some good soils. There's a lot of sandy soils out here, but they do produce a pretty good yields.
Oh, speaking of sandy soils, I meant to mention this, and I don't have the number. Crane Creek, which is the golf course over by Havana that was selling as both farmland and as the golf course, selling as parcels first as farmland and then as a whole to see whether it might sell as farmland or the golf course, did sell on Tuesday, and it sold to an investor, I think, from Chicago, with the expectation it's going to stay a golf course. The sandy soil thing reminded me of that. And you know what? I was talking to my father yesterday, and they went golfing yesterday. He was really hopeful it would stay as a golf course, so.
Well, what did it sell for per acre?
Yeah, that part he didn't remember. He was there, but he, you know, Dad's 85, and he didn't come up with a number off the top of his head. But it did say a golf course, so there's one. But you know, it's kind of funny because you think about it. Here is a golf course in the middle of the state of Illinois, along the Illinois River. The soils are really rough there. They're very sandy. Not particularly good condition, but it was a toss-up as to whether that land was more valuable as farmland or as a golf course. And that tells you a whole lot. And, of course, you're out there west in corn country in Oklahoma. And that's kind of hard to believe, too, that you're in corn country that far to the west, but it's all irrigated. Do they do anything different? Do they ask questions of you that were different than you would hear from this part of the world about cash grain and movement and those sorts of things?
Not really. I mean, they've got good basis levels out here, just like we've got good basis levels out west, in the Midwest.
Oh, well, he must have gone out of an area that we could get hold of him. So we'll try to get back to Dan in just a bit. Oops. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. I managed to get hold of Dan again. He's way out west in Oklahoma in the panhandle and on a cell phone out there. So not surprised we lost him. Hi, Dan. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine, Todd.
Oh, well, we didn't get quite to your thoughts about the marketplace. I want to get to those at the moment, but it did give me time to make about two or three phone calls. And you asked what it sold for? $2,232. So $2,232 roughly, we think, but it sold as one big package for $500,000 for Crane Creek, which is cheap for a golf course, I suppose. I frankly don't know, but that's where it was. Okay, so let's talk about the marketplace. You want to be friendly at this point, neutral, bearish, bullish?
I'm still basically have my friendly hat on. I think it's all about soybeans. Soybeans are, coming in on the short stick of acres. They're coming in, they're having to compensate for the drawdown in South American inventory compared to what the trade was looking at 30 to 60 days ago. So soybeans are, making new highs for the year. The new crop corn-soybean ratio has gone from 1.95 when we were making our lows back in December, just before Christmas, to now we're up to 2.25. So it's my opinion that soybeans are going to attempt to rally enough to pull acres away from corn, and then that will maybe eventually spark a rally in corn. And, I kind of think this is a silly season. There is no doubt that farmers intend to plant more corn, but we're a long ways away from putting it in the ground and then growing the crop and actually harvesting it. So, but beans are the leader. You've got a 5-year corn-soybean ratio low, and basically when you look at that, we're coming out of one of those 5-year lows that soybeans are going to gain on corn, I think, for the next 12 to 18 months. Now, you can do it a couple different ways. Either soybeans keep going higher or corn goes lower, a little bit of both. And I think, at the moment, is basically new crop soybeans are going higher, new crop corn's going lower. But I think that is going to eventually probably pull down corn acres as the bean market rallies to get its share of the acres that are going to be planted this spring.
Thanks for being with us twice today, Dan. I do appreciate you taking the time and staying off the road, and be safe when you're driving again.
Okay, we'll see you back in Illinois.
Okay, that's Dan Zwicker. He's with ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Joined us on this Thursday afternoon to take a look at the futures markets. Here to take a look at the cash grain market is Matt Bennett. He's in TGM at Windsor, Illinois. Matt, thanks for taking the time. You heard Dan say that soybeans were in the driver's seat. I talked to, I led off with that last week for Commodity Week, actually, but have been told at least once this week that that's a done deal. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, right now it sure looks like it is. I mean, the bean market's kind of been, I guess, leading the way here recently, and I think there's a whole lot that still has to be determined with South America, and what are they actually going to end up coming in at, what they're going to do to our exports, and obviously I think most people feel like our demand's going to stay pretty solid considering their crop isn't maybe quite as big as what they originally thought, and so, acreage-wise, there's no question I think they're going to have to buy a few acres.
Usually that doesn't happen here in our part of the world, I don't think, very often. Do you think it's possible to do?
Well, it's possible, and, considering it's been pretty tough the last couple, 3 years on guys doing corn on corn, that's something that's certainly talked about quite a bit. And then in addition to that, I mean, you got to consider there's a lot of talk in the countryside about guys being able to get the types of numbers that they want for corn, and if they can't get all the right hybrids that they're actually wanting to look at, then what's to stop them from working the ground once and planting beans, So there's a whole lot less, you know, investment into putting a bean crop in, and whenever you're still looking at competitive returns, you got to think that guys are going to maybe switch a few acres.
All right. So Darryl Good would be one, and I think he would say this, but he said it before, of course, that once you make a decision to change a crop, for instance, in the fall, if you were going to plant wheat because of a high price at that point, or at this point, I suppose, if you're going to make a decision to plant an acre to soybeans as opposed to corn that it was slotted for and hadn't been prepped for yet, do you go ahead and make a sale on it?
Well, I don't think there's any question that these price levels, you would probably move forward a bit. You know, you don't have to make huge sales, but I would certainly get some stuff on the books because, you know, 30, 12, 40, 12, 50 beans, depending on where you're at and what your price is awfully competitive for beans right out of the field.
Yeah, and then when you look forward to new crop corn, would you be a seller there too, and to what level, if so?
Well, you know, we sold a fair amount last fall, so I mean, it all depends upon where your farm is at. I mean, we're not pushing sales, but we're at a percentage level that we'd like to be. Now, if I hadn't had any sales on yet, and I was in a farm situation where either I had a pretty reasonable, I guess, cash rent in a 50-50 situation, I would probably be looking towards making sales because there's no question you can pencil out a profit. But what level would I go to? You know, probably not more than maybe 30%, and then I would try to keep the upside open with options.
And but let's talk about the local area, about basis in the Windsor area and what it's been like for corn and soybeans.
Really, basis hasn't changed a whole lot in the last 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, we saw maybe just a little bit of a weakening there a couple weeks ago, but I mean, we're still looking at most guys bidding 4 and 5 over for cash corn, and you know, they're only 15 under most people are on the cash beans, so basis levels are hanging right in there for now.
And your bids for the day?
6.45 on cash corn, 5.23 for fall, 12.61 on cash beans, and 12.38 for fall.
Matt, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with TGM. He's in Windsor, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report for a Thursday afternoon. Stay with us if you can. We'll be back in a couple minutes with the Ag Weather segment. For the rest of you, have a great day.
It's National Banana Bread Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1884, Casimir Funk was born. A Polish-American biochemist, he came up with the word vitamine. He pursued the idea that diseases such as scurvy and rickets were essentially caused by a lack of vital substances in the diet. Vitamine was later changed to V-I-T-A-M-I-N, vitamin. In 1896, Leo Hirschfeld introduced a chewy candy at his small store in New York City. It was named after his 5-year-old daughter, Clara, whose nickname was Tootsie. Yes, that's the Tootsie Roll. By the way, during World War II, Tootsie Rolls were added to the rations of U.S. soldiers for their ability to give a quick energy burst. In 1944, Leo Baekeland was born. A Belgian-born U.S. industrial chemist, he invented the first thermosetting plastic, Bakelite, which did not soften when heated. The plastic was used for insulators as well as molded buttons, knobs, and countless other items. The contribution essentially ushered in the modern plastics industry. And in 1997, scientists in Scotland announced the first successful cloning of an adult mammal, Dolly, a sheep. Dolly lived for almost 7 years before being put down due to progressive lung disease. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This is the Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. Time to check the weather forecast. Pete Leavitt, agricultural meteorologist on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, tell me about the weather forecast for the Midwest and how we're setting up at this point to head into the growing season, which is, well, a couple of months away, but we'd like to know about subsoil conditions.
Well, we're going to get a little bit more rain in the Midwest, but it's not going to be overwhelming in any stage. We've got a storm system coming across this evening and tonight that's going to put some bands of pretty heavy precip in the northern quarter of the state, maybe even a little heavy snow in Chicago by morning, maybe 4 to 7 inches worth of snow there as the system moves through. But if that thing goes by, it's not going to extend very far to the south, and so we have the southern two-thirds of the state. It's going to have just sprinkles, mostly dry, and then we're going to see fair weather, colder weather coming in tomorrow from the northwest. Another system goes by far to the north in the next 3 or 4 days, and that's probably it as far as precipitation for the week. So we're not going to get very much wet weather. We've had enough moisture in the eastern Corn Belt. Where we need the moisture is in the upper Midwest. We do have a chance of seeing some precipitation across the Dakotas and Minnesota this week. We've had some light amounts in the past 24 hours. We're going to get another system a little later in this week, late in the weekend. That's maybe worth about a half inch or so, but they need everything they can get up there because that's where it's dry. The adjacent areas of southern Canada to the Dakotas and then the Dakotas and Minnesota are where they need moisture for spring crops. I think the rest of the Midwest has mostly abundant moisture. We also have drought in the southern plains. We did get quite a bit of precipitation early in the wintertime in a region where, in a period where it's normally dry, but we still need more moisture to get the wheat crop prepped to do pretty well when we come into spring. And right now they're still in drought, and I think they're going to stay there with this pattern. I don't see this as a wet pattern for the southern plains. So we've got areas of dryness that might affect the maturing of winter wheat. We've got abundant moisture in the eastern Corn Belt, and the central Corn Belt's doing well except the northwest. So that's what the current outlook is, I think, as we move into the growing season domestically.
Move to South America for me.
Okay, South America has been a roller coaster ride. They get a little too dry, and moisture comes in, and then it gets wet, and things start to improve, and then it dries out again. The area of conflict has been in Brazil, where we've had pretty good moisture in central southern Brazil. That is from north of Paraná, northward up through the Mato Grosso and those areas. And they've had a good moisture there, but it's gotten too dry in southern portions of southeastern Brazil. Rio Grande do Sul, for example, which has the late maturing crops, the corn and soybeans there, are suffering from dryness. They have gotten some precipitation. They're not going to get a lot more. The Argentine had a bout with rain this past week, which perked things up a bit, but they're back dry again. So I think on balance, I think they still need more moisture. In other words, they're losing ground rather than gaining ground, but they did get some of those moisture patterns come in there in the past 2 weeks that perked them up a bit, but not enough to make the crop.
Pete, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
We'll talk with you again next week. That's Pete Lavitt, agricultural meteorologist, joins us here on the closing market report for Thursday afternoon. You can hear what he had to say again if you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.